You're listening to Out of Bounds with Dota. Lose your eye.
What up? What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Out of Bounds, the hottest new sports podcast in Detroit, produced right here in the Motor City. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you. For those of you who are listening perhaps for the first time, I want to remind you to let your friends know this podcast is available on most podcast apps, coming to more very, very soon. Please rate us, subscribe. It's all free. Give us a review. We like to know what you think, and it helps others, and let them know how you feel about the show so they can judge whether they like us too or not, whether they want to give us a listen. So thank you for that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. A couple housekeeping things. Check out our new website, going to launch this week, outofboundsdetroit.com. Outofboundsdetroit.com. That'll be alive and well this week. I don't have a target date for you yet, but it will be up in the next 5 to 7 days. And also mark your calendars. October 7th, we are taking the show on the road. We're going to be in downtown Detroit for a Lions tailgate.
Eastern Market.
We'll see you down there. Probably Eastern Market. We're still working out the logistics and the details. Those will come in the next couple of shows, but I want to put that on your radar so you can find us, come chat with us, meet these, meet the faces behind these beautiful, sexy voices.
Yeah.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, I'm sure people would be looking forward for that. We don't just have radio faces. We're pretty good-looking dudes.
Yeah. Good-looking. Good-looking. Funny. Entertaining.
Very funny. Very funny.
Really more tall.
Probably more funny 8%. Than good looking.
8%.
Well, if you ask John.
If we had to give you a grade, you're probably funnier than you are good looking.
Yes.
Yes, I agree too.
I agree. Probably even.
Steve, how you feeling, buddy?
You know me.
You doing all right?
I'm a little down.
You got the Honolulu blues?
Yeah, of course. Every time after a loss. Not funny.
I couldn't help it.
I know you did something, but
I just want to put
my helmet down.
I got this little Lion's helmet over here. It's been sitting here for a while.
Yeah,
I want to smash it.
Do it.
I want to just break it. I shouldn't even be here anymore.
That's Steve every weekend, every Sunday. This remote.
It's embarrassing what we've been seeing from these guys. I don't know.
Well, back to back losses.
Yep.
You know, I told you a couple weeks ago.
I'd take a tie.
At this point.
Yeah, everybody's going to tie.
Why can't we at least tie?
Everybody's getting tied.
Everybody else is doing it.
Jeez. Why can't we get a tie?
Yeah. We can't even get that lucky.
Oh, man.
You know?
That's tough.
We don't win
it's
or
tough.
Lose.
You guys are not invested as much as I am, so you guys are just whatever. Okay. But
well, let's talk about that, Steve, because
Tell us how invested are you?
How hurt are you?
I had season tickets for 6 years, so I've been to a lot of games.
Right.
And everybody knows season tickets for the Lions are not cheap.
No.
So you're making quite an investment. I got to go on my rant.
No, you go ahead.
I got to go on my rant.
I'm not going to defend them.
I got to go on my rant because this is a shit team, a shit organization that is slapping every devoted fan in the fucking face. They don't care about you, Steve. This organization does not care about you. They don't care that you've invested your time, your hard-earned money, and everything else to watch this shit team that they put on the fucking field.
That's the Fords. They've been like that forever.
Then how can you support this team?
Because, I mean,
how can anybody?
How can you invest
so
much?
When you get a new GM, okay, you think, maybe there's going to be a change because maybe that guy is smart, because what the Fords are doing are they're putting a guy in charge and they're letting him do everything. They have no say. So when you get a new guy, you have to at least give him a chance. And I mean, so far.
Yeah, but Lance on a couple shows ago said it starts from the top.
Yeah, no, I know. So, but if they're involved, it starts from the top. Like if they get involved, they're not involved at all.
But listen.
You don't know that.
I saw Eric Ebron's tweet today.
Yeah, he's a retard.
He's happy to be with the Colts, and he's like, I'm so thankful to be on this team, and he actually used the hashtag Colt culture. He's talking about the culture.
For
the Indianapolis Colts.
That's what Lance said. Yeah,
and it's just like you just get the feeling that these other teams that they've had moderate success, the Colts in the last 10 years, okay, But you just get the sense that, that the way that organization is run and the people that they put around the players, maybe they don't always get the results on the field. But I just can't get over the fact that this Lions organization, the Ford family, whoever the fuck you want to look at, whoever you want to point the finger at, they don't give a shit about you, me, or you, or anybody out there listening. I'm sorry. Lions fans get upset and they say that my hot takes are, you know, it's garbage because it's the same old Lions. They're the same old fucking Lions.
What am I going to do?
They've been that for 60 fucking
years. You want
years.
Me to not go to games?
Don't go to the games.
No, no, because
don't buy the merchandise.
No, because if I don't, because if I don't do it, other people will, so it doesn't matter.
Listen, I've already got a bone to pick. Like, I think that the organization is shit and the family is shit. Lions fans are starting to creep up there on the same level.
No,
right?
Just,
because
we,
you guys are enabling this.
We're just passionate about football.
No, it's
is.
Not.
Yes,
that's
yes.
not what it is.
It is. It is.
It's not what it is.
Listen, you can still enjoy watching them and wanting to watch them.
No, you can't.
But you're investing yourself, like your emotions. You're investing your. It's like ruining your day when they lose.
How about being
like that? That is not worth it. What you're it's not worth it.
How about
they're not showing you anything. They're not giving you anything. They could have went out and did something, did a splash or did something to show Detroit fans that they're in and they want to win.
That's not how they run.
But Chicago picks him up. The best defender ever, I can't think of his name right now.
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, best defender in the league. They I don't know if there was a chance, but they didn't even show any kind of sign. They were even trying to get someone like that.
Because
like,
they don't run that way.
Like the Tigers, they get the Prince Fielders, they get the Miguel Cabreras.
That was
they
Mike
get
Ilitch.
The V-Marts.
Okay.
They get the big stars
I'll give you that.
To say, you know, we want to win. We're showing our fans that we want to win. We want to overspend. We want to do something for our fans finally. You don't see any of that from the Detroit Lions organization. None of it. You see who you get. You have hopes every year. You guys have hopes every year. And then when there's an injury, you're making an excuse. So it's the same thing every year, man. Yeah, you on paper, you could look a little bit better than the last year. But if you're not making a big deal like a Khalil Mack, you're not showing anybody that you want to really win.
You get better but through the draft, okay? You get better
yeah,
through the draft.
You
can't give up two for – I wanted Mack, first of all. I was on
there
board.
There are opportunities to make big splashes. There are opportunities and times – where you need to go forward. You need to go after it. Aggressive. And those times, you don't know when they're going to come. But when they do, you got to jump on it. You have to jump on it. I never seen that from the Detroit Lions. Never.
They have.
I've seen it from the Wings. I've seen it from the Tigers. And I've seen it from the Pistons. I've never seen it from the Detroit Lions since I started watching sports. And our major sports. Never. So that's what bothers me, and that's why I never invested in the Alliance totally. You're investing your emotions. You're investing your whole day. And then when they lose, that ruins your whole day. Like, you got to get away from that a little bit.
I can't.
You have to.
Sorry, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go jump on another bandwagon, another city.
I'm not saying that to be a fan. I'm still a fan of the Lions.
No, it's just not me.
Sorry.
Oh, man. Here you go.
Listen, I think
Monday night was probably the worst game I've ever seen. In my life, I've never seen a team it's hard to question effort for professionals that tried so hard to get to that point, and then they get there, and it looked like it was practice for one side, and the other team was actually trying. I've never witnessed that.
I mean, it looked like varsity was practicing and scrimmaging, right? JV?
Yeah, not even JV.
Well, it looked bad.
Like.
I'm seeing a lot of laziness from these players. I'm seeing
today
a lot
was
of, like,
different.
Their body
today
language.
They actually put effort. They tried.
Well,
they
Stafford looked a little bit like I don't
Stafford.
Know. He was kind
it
of
was bad. He's been bad all year. I don't know what is wrong with him. He had three touchdowns that he could have had that he overthrew people. Four maybe.
There were at least there were four.
And I don't know what's wrong with
could
him.
Could it be Patricia? Could it be
no?
Him
I don't know if he's just
trying to
shocked from four interceptions
I don't
in game
know.
In week one.
He was a little timid. He was a little timid.
He underthrew. In week one, he underthrew Marvin Jones and got picked off. And today he overthrew him three times. So
next week he'll get it right in the middle.
Well, let's hope because Daddy's coming to town next week with TB12.
Yeah.
And he's going to fucking pull their pants down and drive
them. You know what? It would be so Lions of them to lose that game by three. Because everybody's expecting them to come in here and just rip the roof off of Ford Field.
What made me happy today is they at least said, hey, some of us probably don't like the coach, but let's just go out and play. Let's go out and play.
That was the biggest difference between those two games. Was it like the team didn't quit? They played. They played it out. They had a chance. You know, they were marching, trying to make a late game comeback. They had a chance. All right. That's all you ever want for a team that's you know, trying to get six wins.
I mean,
a season.
San Fran is not really a good team. They're not.
They're not.
Okay. Penalties killed us.
Well, how about this? So, Steve, if you and I go play flag football and you get 100 yards for the day, that's a pretty good outing for you, right?
Yeah.
Lions gave up more than that
in penalties
alone.
Right.
So that's as good as giving a receiver or a running back 100 yards.
Yeah.
Like, I can't emphasize that enough.
The penalties killed us. I mean, the special teams is just atrocious. They can't tackle nobody. Jared Davis is looking like a bust right now. I mean,
yeah, he looked bad.
Like, he's bad. He overruns plays, and he can't tackle. Like, at the special teams, they can't tackle anybody. They let the guy go 91 yards off a kickoff, or was it a punt or kickoff?
Yeah.
And then – I don't know. Our special teams are just not. Our punter, which I like Sam Martin, but I don't know if that injury hurt him. But he
doesn't look to be the same.
I mean, he can't kick it out of the end zone.
Yeah, he doesn't look.
I mean,
where's Ziggy Ansah?
He's hurt. They paid him $17 million, and he's hurt.
Yeah,
but he was suited up. He was ready to play. They said.
No,
they scratched him at the last minute. What the hell happened with that?
Yeah, he scratched his ass.
He just didn't feel. Didn't feel.
I don't
Whatever
know. I don't think Patricia has that locker room, man.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't think he does. I think it's just
there's a couple
rules.
Things.
I think it's a work
in
progress.
They're all sensitive, and they're not like players are not what they used to be.
There's a couple things going on.
I don't
there.
Know. It's just something's going on.
Well, I told
something's
you guys
that they look really, really lazy and out of sync.
I told you guys before the season began what I noticed. I didn't care about how they were actually playing on the field. I didn't care about the results in preseason. I never get too high or too low on preseason.
Right, you shouldn't.
What I saw was body language.
Right.
That's what
I was saying that too.
Like right away. Even Patricia. And just seeing like it's almost like he's trying to get these guys. He can't get these guys to be on his side. And like the body language, you see Golden Tate today and Stafford just doesn't look like himself. I don't know what's going on there with him. Maybe he was shook from game one. I don't know. I think Jim Bob Cooter is about to be fired. I think any minute from this recording of the podcast is 1 minute too late of him.
I think by week four, if they go...
they're going 0-4.
They're playing the Patriots next game,
It
right?
doesn't matter. Did you see the Patriots today? They're horrible.
Yeah, they're playing Jacksonville, one of the best defenses in the
They'll
league.
They'll be the Patriots
You're right.
against
You're
Jacksonville.
Right, but...
I mean,
I'm just hoping at home we just have a better showing and run into a couple turnovers. Who knows? But
there are a lot of things that bother me about Matt Patricia, and this is part of the reason that, you know, I warned Lions fans about not getting too excited about him coming in here, because, you know, you look towards the end of the game, there's a little over 3 minutes to go in a game. Clock management. These are things that he was poor at it. He did an awful job of it in the preseason. This was an opportunity where they're trying to climb back. You've got three timeouts and you've got the 2 minute warning. You've just given up a first down and you've got like 3:15. They let 38 or 9 seconds roll off the clock before, and actually the 49ers let the clock expire or call timeout right as the clock was expiring just so that they could burn that time. Like, those are the little things, the nuances of the game that as a defensive coordinator that he isn't having to make those calls. He's not having to be conscious of those things. And now that he's head coach, nobody's there to make these calls for him.
Yeah, he's a rookie coach. I mean,
and I get that, but these transitions are not as easy as fans think. Like,
they still had enough time,
it.
Though. They still not have enough time.
Well, they had, but you can't tell me that it doesn't hurt to have an extra 40 seconds.
Oh, of course, but
that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. So those are the things about Matt Patricia. Now, look, I don't know what's going on in the locker room. I don't know what's going on in the practice field. I don't know if he's being that hard on them or if this is more players who just don't want to be bothered because it's a long season and it's a grueling season. So I don't know. Maybe somewhere in the middle lies the truth.
Usually when there's something going on in the locker room behind the scenes, you tend to see it on the field. And in these first two games, I'm seeing a lot of it.
I just don't think they're good enough on defense.
Stafford is not making plays that he normally does.
That has nothing to do with the coach, though.
Because
him and Tate and Marvin Jones have been together for a while now. They should be already, you know, in sync.
It's in the head, man. It's in the head. It starts in the locker room. It starts with the whole coach. It starts with everything. That's where
defense,
it all begins.
I could see, because they're switching systems and schematically they're ruined. They're just done every phase. I don't.
They need to just change everything.
Right.
But they can't. You can't do that. He's bringing these New England players in because they know him and they know how he works, and they're the ones that are okay with it. But everybody right. that was under Caldwell is like, hey, we're not used to this.
Do we have a leader on the field? Forget the coach. Is there someone that other players could rely on?
It doesn't
on
show
field?
On the field.
I don't see it from Stafford. He should be. I don't see it from anybody else.
I think there's maybe Glover Quinn on defense.
Every
but.
Team has someone that's outside of the coaching staff that can come up to someone and say, "Hey, listen, we got to get back into it, guys." I don't see that either.
You got to have that guy. You got to have that on any team. You got to have that guy that kind of bridges the gap between the coaching staff and the players. That captain. That's why they it's never a surprise. I don't think
captain.
When you see a captain like. There are certain characteristics the floor general, right?
Yes.
You've talked about it with Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Those kinds of players are crucial. I don't know that team has that right now.
I know you
need it on the defensive side. You need it on the offensive side. There is just something
you need
there.
Someone. You
there
just
is something.
Need someone.
Steve, you actually said what I was thinking all day today when you showed up before the podcast and you were watching. You said, God, it just looks so easy for some of these other teams. Some of these other teams make it look so easy. Mm-hmm. Ripping off an 8-9 yard run. Mm-hmm. Something so simple. 8-9 yard run on a random 1st and 10 or 2nd and 10, whatever it is, they just make the rest of the plays and the rest of that possession so much easier. A 3rd and 2, a 3rd and 1, those short yardage gains that they have to get to convert. I don't know, man.
I think it's schematics. I really do.
The simple things we make it look so hard.
Like when we do get an 8-9 yard run, they hold and then it comes back.
Right.
We had two holdings in a row. We were in field goal position, and they pushed us back to the 40.
We're not a fun watch right now. I hope we can get back.
I feel like the Lions' offense right now is like the guy who picks up Madden for the first time and is trying to learn how to call these plays. And you know what I mean? Like to know where the guys are.
Right.
Oh, I held circle too long, so I overthrew the guy.
But as bad as they played on offense, they scored enough to win the game.
Ah, that's the Lions' slap.
No, but
there.
I mean, you're not supposed to give up 30 points. You're not.
No, you're not.
So if you score 27, you should win that game.
You're not supposed to have 100 yards in penalties either.
No, I didn't say penalties. I'm saying offensively we played bad and we still scored a lot of points.
Listen, I don't think Matt Stafford is the problem. He played like shit game one. Like he was the problem
in game
one. He
didn't play good today either.
He was awful in game one. That game is definitely on him. I don't think he's the problem with this Lions team. I don't think he's ever going to keep this team from winning a game. I don't think he costs us games. I think he can win you games. He just doesn't win us enough games.
That last
he doesn't
drive
make enough
where,
plays.
Where they were trying to get the first down to get in field goal position to try to tie the game.
Two.
They had the review going. I don't know. It looked like a catch to me. I don't think they had.
It might have been a catch. Right. They called it incomplete.
Yeah.
If they would have called it a catch,
exclusive. Yeah,
it would have been a catch because they couldn't tell.
That's a systematic problem.
If that would have went our way,
but still,
but
you
that's
had
the problem.
But
the Lions
had,
don't get these kinds of plays to ever go their way.
I know.
Theo Riddick dropped two in his hands. Two of them right in his hands.
Yeah.
So
they were kind of thrown behind him.
No, they weren't right in his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just that's the hard part is. Even like the Lions haven't even earned the respect to get a ball to bounce their way in those scenarios.
But
a catch like that makes a big difference. That's a huge difference.
But you can't overturn that because you
game
can't
of
see
inches.
It.
Well, I know. No,
game
I'm saying
now maybe Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, have a better view on it. Like
I'm just saying, if Stafford is 30 for 34 passing. And his receivers are catching balls, they're not. Those refs aren't going to think twice about calling that a catch.
No, they can't turn it. They can't overturn it.
Saying if they call it a catch.
Oh, they call it, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That it's those kinds of plays that that could bounce their way.
Yeah.
Because, it might be questionable, but because they call it one way. Don't tell me that Tom Brady and Gronk aren't going to get the benefit of the doubt, or Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown, aren't going to get the benefit of the doubt on a play like that. They're going to call that a catch because those guys make those plays.
Yeah.
But when you've got Marvin Jones and Golden Tate getting overthrown, it's just not going to work.
I like
man.
Galladay though. I really
yeah, he's
like
a good
him,
player.
Man.
He's one of the good draft picks.
And what does that tell you? When Marvin
like
Jones and Golden Tate, 1,000 yard receivers, and Galladay is outplaying them and outshining them through two games. I know it's only two games, but
he
only
me
gets
a
16.
Lot of Calvin
Mega.
Yeah, he does.
Big
man.
Boy, but
he's like that. Yeah, he just the way he catches the ball. He's got great hands, man. Great hands, great feet. I like him a lot.
Yeah,
but you got to be able to use him.
No, he's a rising star.
He's
gonna be special.
I like Deshaun Hand on defense.
Yeah,
he's a really good player.
He's from Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah,
Yeah, he's.
Well, you know he's got to be good if he's from there,
right?
Yeah, he was. It was between Michigan and Alabama. He chose Alabama.
Well, why do you think he chose Alabama, Steve?
Got paid. Got a house.
Steve's friends.
His parents got a house and a car.
I had to give you that moment right there. Okay, so when I looked at this Lions schedule, I had them winning week one and then not winning the next five.
You're right.
So that's what I was going to say. People had them 1-4 going, you know, so I had them winning week one, two, and losing today. So we're only down one game. We still have, there's a chance.
What was your final number? You ended up at 9 wins?
Yeah,
I don't
nine.
Think so. No.
Yeah.
Did you?
Well, I mean, that
no,
was.
No, you had it more than 9.
No,
I had
no
nine.
At the first.
He slept on,
I, first,
he slept on it. Yeah. He rolled some dice.
I think you went just one game down from what you originally picked. I think you had 11, then you went to 10.
I think I, whatever. I went. Not,
either no, way. No, either, no. Hey, let me tell you this.
Every week you're
let
going
me
down.
Let me tell you
yeah,
this.
I might go to 6.
Basically. I put him at 6 wins. I had to coin flip to get him at 6 wins. And I think I overshot my load on that one, too. When has 0-16 ever felt like a possibility through 2 weeks?
No, I just think they're going to get a little bit better. I think they're going to get a little bit better just week after week.
So is the competition.
We look that bad.
So is the competition.
Right now.
Listen, I was talking with coworkers who are season ticket holders, and it was like.
There's no sign.
I don't like to overreact to sports because so many things change or whatever. But we're looking at each other, and he's like, fuck, Dota.
Yeah.
The season looks lost already, and it's only
week
one.
I said this to myself
now,
today.
If they would have came out today.
I was trying to be the optimist in that situation.
If they would have came out today and looked like they did on Monday night, I would have threw in the towel to say it's over.
They
it's
did
done.
Look different. I mean, the effort was, it seemed like
still
the effort
lost,
was
man.
There.
It's still it lost, lost, but I expected them to
there
lose
There are
today.
No moral victories in football, in
I mean,
professional
I,
sports.
I predicted. So. I didn't expect them. I predicted. So I thought they would win week one, and they didn't. Well,
they needed to win this game.
Yeah, no.
Look,
yeah, they back.
Like, listen, this
they
is,
needed. They absolutely needed. This was a must win,
Steve.
For,
this is
for them and for us,
Steve. This is your friend. Your friend talking. I'm trying to help you out here. I'm trying to point out why
I don't need no help.
Why you have this lion slappy disease? Week one was such a lion. Like lion's gonna lion, right? It was such a lion's way. To lose that game, to come out and open the season opener at home on Monday Night Football with a pick six on a rookie quarterback.
Right.
Take it to the house. Everybody's like screaming Super Bowl. Yeah, it's going to be a great start to the season. And then you get smashed by a team that's not supposed to be good.
They're not good.
They're not. Like, you saw them today. Yeah. They were not good.
I don't know what happened. I can't explain what happened.
The Lions made the Miami Dolphins look like a Super Bowl team.
They
almost shut out the Jets today.
Yeah, I mean Jets are not good, but I like I said, I can't explain. There was just no effort whatsoever.
That's why I think there's more truth to this idea that Matt Patricia lost the locker room before he even ever had it.
He might have,
because when the Jets aren't that good and the Lions put up that kind of performance, that to me says like that just screams fuck this guy. Like, we don't want to play for this guy. Let's teach this guy a lesson.
But then they played this week, you know? That's the thing. If they would have came out this week like they did last week, I would have said, done.
I think the Browns are going to finish with a better record than the Lions.
How do you
what I see
that?
Right now.
Well, yeah, because they're going to have that tie on.
Because the Browns could have easily been
2-0.
Yeah. If my grandma had balls, she'd be my grandpa.
You're starting to sound like a Lions
But they
like
could
Lions,
easily
man.
Be, if it wasn't for that fucking kicker, minor league kicker, they got to get rid of, first of all.
G League, out the league.
Yeah, he's done.
Like Johnny
he's done.
G League, out the league. Horrible.
I've been practicing.
I said it on our thread. I said, Browns are going to be a better team this year than the Lions. The way I've been
well,
seeing it
these first
two games. Well,
defensively, they are a better team.
They have more talent.
Defensively,
they have more talent. I thought we had some talent. We got no fucking talent.
No, they got young players that are really good on defense. Number one, on defense, they got a really good defense. And then,
would you have said that before the season started?
No,
that the Browns
not
would be
before
better?
The season.
But right now, you're saying after two games.
Not before the season, because I thought we'd win nine games.
I don't understand you, Lions slappy guys that are, you know, so
slap
invested.
Yourself. I'm not so, a slappy. I'm ripping them all day today.
So invested. Well, you're emotionally affected.
Yeah.
So that means you're a slappy. I want to understand something. Like, you're looking in all offseason, you're studying this team. You're seeing what's coming in, what's going out, who's this, who's that, what we could do here, what we could do there. And then Patricia comes along,
okay.
And we got a great coach from New England. That's
we don't know if he's great.
Well,
we're just hoping he's great.
Well, great whatever he was. in England. He was great in New England, right?
No,
worked out for New England.
His coach was great.
he was considered pretty fucking good at his job.
He was
right. Am I wrong?
Bill Belichick's
He was considered pretty fucking good at his job.
He was good. He was
when
great.
When you win Super Bowls, you're considered good at your job.
Yeah, but his defense wasn't that great.
And then, you're not seeing any of that? You're not seeing any signs? Like, I'm invested in the Tigers. I was for forever, right? And I look at the offseason. I study the offseason. I see players that come in, go out. And I study and I predict in my head, like, this team could be pretty good. Or this team could be okay or suck, right? Are you seeing any of that? Or is it hard to predict football as it is baseball? Baseball, I think, is harder to predict.
No, he can't.
Then it is football.
Lions Slappies are at 8-8 every year.
Are you totally shocked? Are you totally shocked that they're 0-2?
Yeah, because Jets are not good. We should have won that game. I predicted them 1-1.
So what's the reason of game one being such?
They didn't try.
There was no effort.
There were no effort. You seen it? You were there.
Blown out.
Like they weren't. Like it was no effort.
So where I see that is in the locker room.
Okay.
Where I see that is the coach.
We heard that. We heard that.
We maybe have the talent, but that's where it is. That's where the problem is. I'm just narrowing it down.
No, we heard that.
I'm narrowing it down. You don't. Those are the things you can't read about. You could kind of read about it because you've heard about maybe something going on with the players and them not listening to him. And right? Am I right?
Yeah, we heard that. Yeah.
You kind of hear little bits and pieces of it, so you don't. That's hard to study.
We'll see in the next
few weeks. And I feel that's the problem.
We're going to see in the next few weeks how it goes.
Here's the issue. Here's the issue with it shouldn't be offensive to call somebody a Lion Slappy. You're a diehard Lions fan.
No, that's
fan.
I'm a Tiger Slappy.
The bar every year. I have never heard a Lion Slappy put the bar below 8 wins.
Because they really haven't been below 8 wins for a little while. Right. They haven't.
But in the history of Lion Slappies, I've never heard one put the bar below 8 wins. The year they went 0-16.
Like with this offense, I wasn't really like worried about this offense.
I think you can though, Dota. Actually, I'm backtracking that.
What?
If you see that they're not. If you see it, that they're not going to be
Lions,
doing...
For Lions fans,
but still, it's like you got to be...
Springs
true.
Eternal.
If you're studying it, and if you're seeing it, and if you're looking into it...
No, not
gotta tell who it is.
No, you're not a Slappy unless you believe they're going to be 500.
I'm a Slappy Tiger fan. I love the Tigers. And I could tell you right now, I didn't say they were going to lose 100 games.
No, but you said they're going to win. Horrible. You said they were going to win 68 games.
Yeah.
You're almost there.
Yeah.
But you are real with yourself about the expectations of this team. When you heard at the beginning of the season that analysts were picking the Tigers to lose 100 games, you were like, no fucking way,
because
I've been paying attention.
What was your number before the season started?
What?
A wins?
For Lions?
Yes. Before the season. Like
6.
That's what you picked?
Wow. Yeah. You were that low?
Yeah.
Like, I never would have thought that in 100 years, because the offense, I thought, would be fine. We got a rookie running back who I thought was going to take over, and we had our line I thought was going to be healthy and better.
Right.
Galladay, another year. I knew he was going to be good.
Right.
So offense wasn't the problem. It was the defense I was worried about, and they can't.
And
they can't
can
tackle.
Khalil,
they can't.
You can get a Khalil Mack, and you just.
I would. I was.
You didn't even approach a phone.
No. How do you know that? How do you know that?
We didn't hear anything.
No, because you're not going to. You're not going to hear
this
everything.
Day and age. You'll hear everything.
No.
You'll hear everything.
To Mark's point, but that's what makes that's what made Mike Ilitch
right
such a great owner.
But what did Chris Ellis do? How's he done since Mike? Past.
Well, it's different.
Exactly.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Passionate
owners.
You can still pay for
can
players.
Can we go to the Super Bowl?
Listen, you're talking about
the World Series.
You're talking about
times.
A guy. You're talking about an owner who wanted a World Series before he died. Like that was his bucket list. Like he was overspending, writing blank checks for players.
Right. Dude,
the Lions aren't doing that. The Lions don't do that. The Lions are trying to stay under the cap. They don't want to pay a luxury tax. They don't want to pay all that stuff. So that, to me, right there,
on the
surface, read it. It's black and white.
Right.
We are making money. We got 60,000 people inside Ford Field for the home opener.
And you're going to have them there next week, too.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, that's just how
point.
It is. Detroit
so
is.
There's no incentive as an owner. You have
what
a
is
product.
It about the fans,
no,
though? Like, look at all. There's a reason why your stadium's filled. Your fans are invested.
Right.
I paid
so do something for the fans,
that's
finally.
That's why I blame the fans.
$10.50 for a mango Blue Moon that's smaller than this.
It helps that you play once a week, too. It helps.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's only 8 games.
Yeah, so that helps.
You know, the best part is tailgating, hanging out with your friends, and, you know, going down there and getting away.
But even when you're at the game, though, the entertainment at the game sucks. Yeah, away from the field. There's no in arena entertainment that's really there to keep you interested. I don't want to see the fat guy sing the song on the Jumbotron. Like I don't care about nothing there. The Ford family shows me nothing.
Right.
They show me nothing that they want to bring me there and keep me there.
Also, right? It's not convenient for any. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Like we were talking about this before we went on the podcast. The score and the down and how many yards are left to get a first down. Like that's not like right there for you to look at. Like you're watching a game. You come from a piss break. You come back. You don't know what down. You got to search the whole arena. What down is it? Where is it? Oh, it's over there on that little dotted line at the bottom over there. Oh, that's where it is. That's where the score is and that's where everything is. I understand you can't put a big scoreboard like Dallas. You can't spend millions of dollars on a $100 million fucking inch fucking screen. But you got to have something, man. You got to have a – it was so tough. I was telling Johnny, and Johnny was – we were at the game, and he was agreeing with me. And it's like it's hard to find. You got to know what's going on in the game at all times. If you're talking to someone next to you and you lose track of how many downs or where we're at,
right.
Like I got to look for it now. I gotta look for it.
They got Wi-Fi
now. Right there.
Now they got Wi-Fi now. So next time you're at the game, let me know. I'll just text you what down it is.
Oh, come on, dude! I want it right there, man.
You mentioned
John.
Is he here?
And all the other sports, you see it. You have it right there in front of you. You gotta bring the experience to watch. I know it's better to watch on TV.
I don't even care about that.
I do.
I don't even care about that.
I do.
I would rather they spend the money and effort on getting
a
better team on the
field. I
don't care about that. I think the people who go there who are invested in the game who are watching, I think they're well aware, to your point, Steve. I think they're well aware of what down it is, how far they have to go, and whatever. And they know. But you go one game a year, you're probably not whatever.
Maybe.
But
whatever.
You mentioned John. Is he here? He's not here?
John? No, John's not here.
Oh, I didn't notice. to me, from a fan standpoint, like maybe I'm just angry inside because my son is about to be 2 years old. He's very much into sports. And I'm going to have to break his little heart, man. I'm going to try to not make him a Lions fan.
Whatever. Whatever floats your boat.
It's just, I don't want to put him through that.
Yeah, it's just tough.
I don't want to put him through that.
It's tough.
I just don't want to put him through that. I mean, he's already into Tigers. Loves going to Tigers games. That's an experience.
We're done with the Lions until next week.
Oh, man. Oh, the state of sports. In Detroit is rough.
Yeah.
Let's stick with that. Zetterberg announcing he just can't do it anymore. Out of the game, retiring with a couple of years left on his contract. You know, I've said for a long time, I think the toughest athletes are hockey players. I mean, you've seen it time and time again.
Absolutely.
The grind that these guys go through in the game. Like, we go to Campus Martius in the winter, and I skate around the rink three times, and my legs are hurting me. These guys are phenomenal at what they do. They're taking hits. They're doing all these amazing things on skates. Get a tooth knocked out and they're back. Just they keep playing. This guy can't do it anymore. All right? A degenerative thing with his back.
Father time.
It just But what's the most amazing thing out of all his stats was that he's been having this back issue for the past 3 years. And the past three seasons he's played 80 plus games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't do anything more than just tip my cap to this guy who's been a captain. He's a champion, a role model.
Even though hockey is it's weird. Hockey is like one of the roughest sports, maybe besides football. Maybe at times even more rough than football. I mean, you're getting drilled against the boards,
slash the stick,
all that stuff. It's pretty up there with football as far as intensity and roughness.
If that's not enough, you get pounded in the face by Ty Domi and Bob Probert.
Yeah. But, like, you still can have a pretty long career playing hockey. As long as you can skate and stand up. Like, you look at Jaromir Jagr.
I was just going to say, is he still playing?
He's like 406 years old, and he's still playing. Like, so, like, to him, Zetterberg is 36, 37, I think he is. He easily thought he could play another 3-4 years. And
a lot of players can go over
40. Is what I'm trying to say, which is pretty crazy. Football is the complete opposite. Baseball, yeah, if you're not in the American League batting DH, you're out of the league. You know, it's pretty crazy if you think about it, how rough the sport is and how long you can actually extend your career playing it. And that's where Zetterberg comes in, and he's, you know, it's frustrating. He's had some success with us.
Yeah.
He's won a Stanley Cup.
Sure.
An MVP. He was MVP of that 2008 Stanley Cup, I believe.
Yeah.
But he never had, you know, the Yzerman and the Lidstrom.
No, I wondered how fans think about him in that stature. Because I mean, look, he was here with Datsyuk and those guys,
oh, yeah.
And I think those two names will always go together. Winning a Stanley Cup here was, I mean, that's the ultimate goal for these guys.
He had a great career. He had a good career.
But I think it's kind of like the passing of the torch. Like this is kind of like the last, you know, the last of the four horsemen remaining. You know, and just
who's the next
out with the old,
Steve,
in with the
I
new.
I ask you, who's the next? There's Yzerman, Lidstrom. Zetterberg.
I mean, the next captain.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say Dylan Larkin.
Yeah,
yeah.
You think they'll give it to him? I know there's been a lot of talk about who they're gonna give it to. Are they gonna go with a team approach? Maybe not have one this upcoming season because they don't know yet. Do you think any of those young guys have shown the leadership to do that?
He's just a hometown kid and he's young, and I think he's gonna be the face of the team. So, I mean, I think they. I don't know who else. I don't know who else would get it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd be the front runner.
Who's the young guy they got coming up? It looks really good. There was a lot of YouTube clips on him. You mentioned him.
He's a rookie, though.
Right.
He's not even.
No,
he
I know.
Won't even
he's
be
not
ready.
A captain, but an
he's
up
no Stevie Y.
No, yeah. Yeah, it's tough to replace someone like that.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, I think Red Wings fans are looking towards the future and thinking there's a bright future here. Especially with the talk of Stevie Y possibly heading home.
I called that a year ago.
You did. And it's interesting because he hasn't committed to anything. He's stepping down in Tampa, and he's taking on an advisory consulting / I'm waiting it out a year.
In Tampa, right?
Yeah.
He won a cup, too.
Yeah. Now I know Red Wings fans were like they wanted him to get that role right away, but I think he did it right. He had to go get his feet wet. He had to go taste a little bit of success. Learn that process. He's a master at figuring out the salary cap. He's a fucking wizard with that. So I think that, you know, when you've got this young team here in Detroit, and ultimately, I mean, nothing, the contract isn't signed yet, but all signs point towards Stevie Y coming here, and I think that's a great story.
A
I think
rare,
this town needs
that'd be amazing.
A rare former superstar that's translating into ownership to be able to have success as an owner, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare, and I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him here.
And as a hometown favorite, like, he's clean, right?
He's
clean.
He's Gordie Howe.
He's done everything right. Absolutely.
I was so scared.
He still looks like he's 19.
I was scared.
Fucking guy.
His jersey number.
I was scared a Canadian team would snatch him, you know,
right?
Because he's from Canada.
Right.
But, fuck you, Canada. Suck on that.
If we get him, I mean, he knows we have young players, and we're up and coming. If he can just make some signings, we'll be going in the right direction.
We gotta get him in first.
I think there's a lot of behind the scenes dealings going there. I think it's all but a done deal.
Yeah.
I don't think he steps down. The timing just kind of works right with this team and where it's at. You know, with the young talent here and where they're looking to be down the line. I just think if who doesn't love Stevie Y?
Oh
It's a great. It's a great comeback story for him. He's maintained his career, his reputation. He doesn't piss people off. I love it. I think he'd come back here. He could be a hero again.
Right.
Classic deliver guy. Another Stanley Cup, or at least get Hockey Town back, right? Revive Hockey
my
Town.
Favorite, hey, my favorite Red Wing. Besides Tim Shovelday, my favorite Red Wing. You guys, you know.
So is he or isn't he your favorite Red Wing? Fucking pick one.
I know, it's tough. I love Tim Shovelday. Johnny
you're a goalie,
knows. Stevie
man.
Knows.
You're a goalie.
I played goalie when I was a
oh,
kid.
Yeah,
we used
to
rock you top shelf.
He wasn't even that great.
What
man,
was Mark's weakness?
I love the style.
Oh, he used to say, go to the glove side. He used to get me sometimes, but other times right in the corner.
Yeah. We used to fold out our like our, you know, those tables you put out.
That
for
you
like
fold,
a,
the folding
like
tables?
Feast,
oh, yeah.
The folding tables. We'd fold those out. We'd put a blanket behind it and then tuck it under the leg. Johnny knows all about this. And it would be like the net. And then Johnny would hit it in the corner, and it would ding off that, you know, the little level
the
there.
Yeah,
it would ding off that.
That's fantastic.
Imagine
not all the time. I would give him the whole glove side. I'd be like, come on. And I'd sprawl and do that shovel.
Remember we missed
save.
The whole blanket?
Oh, yeah, it would hit the
it had board. Like a wood paneling, but it was like nothing behind it.
Yeah, it was a hollow wood paneling.
Those were the days, man.
We were
That's what
creative
kids did.
Kids,
you had
man.
To be creative.
So
now
me and Steve.
I'm a lefty,
Me and Stevie. Listen.
Wait, in hockey? You're
yeah. Yeah.
What is with you?
What?
You're both right-handed. You play hockey left?
Yeah, I shoot.
I play pool
you
left.
You play pool left?
I play pool
you
right.
You jerk off left?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a quick thing. Kids nowadays have all the iPads. They barely go outside and do anything creative. Just one thing that me and Steve did when we were kids. We rolled up socks and made it into a ball, okay, into like a little soccer ball, and put two chairs up against each other and played soccer in his basement.
Yeah.
And he had sewer pipes sticking out of his carpet, and I still have a scar on my toe.
You shouldn't have kicked the sewer pipe.
But like those kind of things, like we just went downstairs and just said, get some socks, let's put them together. You know, and
we
let's,
got a bleeder.
Were they
dirty socks?
Let's
we
play.
Got a bleeder.
I don't know. We didn't care. We were just
right.
kicking them.
Exactly. That's
you know,
the
and it, those were the days.
So
man.
So
don't
me,
make me cry.
Me and my brother. Why? You had the greatest childhood ever. Why would you cry? Do you miss it?
Because I yeah. Of course I do.
You're gonna make me cry if we talk about your childhood again. We used to take paper, roll it into a ball, and then put foil over it to make it a really. Solid.
That's a great
ball.
Idea. Why didn't we think of that?
I don't know.
It worked for us.
Yeah,
we were kicking it so much it would kind of like.
Yeah. No, we put foil and then we were shooting baskets. We were playing basketball. We'd shoot over the curtains, you know, because you had just enough space.
Yeah.
In the
back.
So if it went behind a curtain, you were money.
Yeah. Yeah, but couldn't you got 6 feet long.
You couldn't swish.
So
it,
you couldn't miss. I mean,
but you had to get it just right, Steve.
Yes, right.
I'm sorry we didn't have socks laying around.
I just had to throw that in.
Are you good? Do you need another trip down memory lane?
I was just. The memories and those days were just
that's
the
a
best.
Warren
those
Warren Tucky days.
Those were the best days.
Warren Tucky. Hey, one of the other topics of discussion this week has been Pete Rose and his health. Came out and admitted that you know his health is deteriorating. I don't know if he's on his deathbed, but it got me and Mark talking. Me, Mark, and our friend Joe talking the other night. Just this whole Pete Rose saga and the Hall of Fame. And the baseball ban and everything that's going on there, you know, it makes me kind of sad that if he ever has a chance to make it into the Hall of Fame, it's probably not going to happen in his lifetime. And I think that would be one of his
probably not.
I think he would. I mean, it would fucking make his life.
Yeah.
To have that.
I think
if that happened,
it.
He would die the next day.
I think he should be in it. One reason and one reason only. Okay. He bet on the game as a player. He bet on a game as a manager. And then all the years went by, and he finally got a chance on Fox to come in, be an analyst with all the guys now. And he was starting to do pretty good. He was doing pretty good. Everybody was starting to like him. He was kind of crazy, and he was like that Charles Barkley type for baseball, said obnoxious things, whatever. But it was great to watch, to listen to, right?
It was fine.
And then
real.
All of a sudden he gets kicked out of Fox because they found out in the 1970s that he had sex with underage girls, like 16 years old girls he'd invite back or to his spring training hotel or wherever he was. And like, okay, you know, like you do one thing, you do one, like you can redeem yourself by getting back in the spotlight. Alex Rodriguez, for example.
Fuck him.
I know. Fuck him, too.
Fuck him.
Because of J-Lo, Dota. That's why
the
you're,
only
you
reason. I don't care what he did in base. I don't care that he fucking juiced up.
Yeah, we know.
Fuck him.
We know. Calm down here.
Fucking my girl.
Calm down. Fuck! But, like, he's back in the spotlight. People are starting to like him again, starting to listen to him again. Eventually,
he's a tool.
That would make him an easier
cheater
way to get back into the Hall of Fame, to try to get into the Hall of Fame. Rose had that chance, whatever, they found something else on him.
But I don't think that has anything to do with
that. My point is, though, of all this, is that his record is still in the books. As long as his record is still in the books, you got to put him in the Hall of Fame. He's got over 4,000 hits. Do you know how amazing that is? I think it's 4,126 or 156 or something like that. You see all the spotlight, all the attention these players get when they get 3,000.
Yeah.
This guy had 1,200 more. And as long as his record is in the books, you got to put him in the Hall of Fame or take him off the books and take Barry Bonds off the books.
Yeah, that's
not
happening.
Take all these players off the books if you're not putting them in the Hall of Fame.
That's not happening.
Their record can't stand if they're off the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame based on what you did on the field.
It is, but
it should be.
Now,
absolutely.
When he did bet, what I thought at first was, like, did he just bet on with or against or whatever? I mean, he bet with, so he was trying. If he bet against, like,
exactly.
Then,
I know
then
Dota brought that
you know,
up.
Then yeah. he's putting Great. Pitchers in that are not good, right. and he's purposely losing. But he wasn't doing that, which is, I still, it's not right.
Right.
But I'm for him being in.
I'm with you on that. I actually said to Mark and Joe the other day, I said, you know, you can't convince me that the all-time hits leader in Major League Baseball was betting against
right.
himself.
Right.
Trying to sabotage the game. So what the fuck is the problem with him betting on himself?
I mean, it's the rules. You're not supposed to. I get it, but still.
Yeah, I get that too. But that has, if that's what motivated him to be a better baseball player, then fucking so be it. He's putting his own money on the line.
Yeah,
right.
If that's what motivates him to be the all-time hits leader,
but I feel like okay, that was a mistake, and it could have passed. And
it wasn't a mistake. He knew what he was doing.
But then he fucks up, and they find more shit on him as he's already. She's trying to get back into the game.
That's irrelevant.
Like, listen, though,
I know it is, irrelevant. But it's like it's something on top of whatever.
But that doesn't matter.
You know, kicking him off the broadcast is fine because okay,
that's
they find,
okay.
You know, but
you don't want to be associated with that.
Right,
that's fine.
Right.
If he's not gonna, if you can't get him to buy into the idea to say, look, I did this 40, almost 50 years ago, and I apologize, it wasn't the right thing to do, but this was the thing or whatever, blah blah blah. So that's that you know. If you're not going to get that, fine. You can fire him from Fox Sports. The thing about the Hall of Fame and Major League Baseball, they're never going to take his record off the books because baseball is all about stats, all about statistics in terms of those rankings.
Right.
So we are in what everybody now calls the steroid era of baseball. Okay? We are well into it.
Right.
If you are going to continue.
Well, we should be out of it.
If you are going to continue to rack up. No, because guys are still doing it. Still getting guys busted for PEDs.
Yeah,
and all that stuff.
Yeah, Robinson Cano.
So we're still toothpaste. We're still toothpaste. We're still in
toothpaste?
This. We're still in the. Yeah, he's got a commercial. You got to Google it.
You got to Google Cano toothpaste. Please.
Trust me.
Okay, go ahead.
Change
sorry.
Your life.
Yeah.
You know, the stats, if you're going to continue to rack up these stats and put these guys in the rankings and count them and put their names in the books, Barry Bonds is not off the books. He's right there.
Right.
He's there.
You can't.
That's
my
point.
If you're going to put an asterisk, put it after 2000 or whatever the steroid era began because you're still accumulating these. You're still counting them. It has to work. If it ever gets to the point where baseball writers have to make this decision, okay, I know it's not part of the repertoire, but at some point in this era we live in, this society, there's going to be a petition that gets started, and it's going to gain a lot of steam.
Absolutely.
And for the sake of Major League Baseball, the commissioner, whoever that is at the time, is going to have to consider the idea of putting Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Whether he leaves that up to the league itself to make that decision or if he gives it to the writers. Look, writers, you're getting new writers in the game.
Yeah.
All right? Some of those guys forget. They're going to look at the stats. They're not going to look at everything else. They're not going to look at the history.
There's a whole new wave of baseball writers right?
Yeah.
You mentioned it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're younger, and if it ever gets to the writers, they're going to look at the numbers, and they're going to say, yeah, this guy definitely belongs in the Hall of Fame. Like John said, look, you have to be able to separate. I'm sorry. You have to be able to separate what the guys do on the field, on the court, and what they do in their personal lives. That should have no standing. You can hate him all you want.
I agree with that.
But he belongs in the fucking Hall of Fame. He needs to get there.
Yeah. His record's there. It still stands. You still got to try to beat it. If you're still trying to beat that record, which you're never going to fucking beat, and if you made up your mind you're not putting him in the Hall of Fame, take that record out. Let someone else chase
it. It's got to be one or the other.
The guy second in line, he's the new record holder now. Barry Bonds, same thing. Take him off. That's the only way it'll work for me. That tells me right there that these guys are okay. They're off the list. Like for example, Michigan. Well, not a great example, but Michigan Wolverines basketball wiped them out because of all their bullshit. Wiped all their records, all their wins, all that shit. That's what you got to do. If you want to not include these guys in the Hall of Fame, you got to take them off the books completely.
That'd be one way to do it. That's my thing.
That's what's not going to happen. You can't take that off the books, and that's why I'm with putting them in. You got to put them in.
But the idea of like. Banning a guy from baseball, like they're picking and choosing what they want to ban. All right?
Yeah.
If you're going to ban the person, then he should, if he ceases to exist in Major League Baseball, so should his record.
Exactly.
So
I'm with you.
Use whiteout or whatever the fuck you got to do, reprint it,
I'm with
Take
you.
Them off.
Gotta be in.
Put the asterisk, whatever you want, but it's one or the other. It can't be both. It can't be both. You got to make that decision.
Those are records that are going to be really incredible to beat. 4,000.
That record will never be broken.
You know, even Barry Bonds.
In our lifetime, that record will never be broken.
Know, seven, what is he? Seven, what's Barry Bonds? 730 or four, I forget the number. I know 714 was Hank Aaron.
Isn't he like 762?
756, something like that. Something like that. Or no, 714 I think was Babe Ruth. I don't know. I don't have all my stats in front of me, but
it's insane.
It's insane. Like, those records are, like, you're not hitting 72 home runs in a season anymore.
No, never.
I don't know.
No.
Will? Maybe? We never said we'll never see a triple-double again. We just seen two in a row. So, I don't know. It could happen, but the game could change, could evolve, could I don't know.
Well, the game, yeah, that's two totally different things. You're never going to see, no, you're not going to see 72 home runs in a season.
Triple-double?
He's talking about that back-to-back season.
Yeah, you're not going to see it.
Russell Westbrook!
Oh.
You're not going to see it because of the steroids. Unless they get back on.
Let everybody do it. Let everybody do it. Juice the numbers.
They juice the ball. They could juice the balls.
It'd be more
exciting. They could start pitching underhand.
We should start juicing.
I would love the juice.
We should start juicing.
You know, I'd be a man.
Not that juice you talked about in the last show.
Not that juice.
We should start juicing.
Not that juice.
We should do it.
What's wrong with that juice?
You know how great we'd be at work?
Nothing wrong.
Especially me.
You think we'd be better podcasters if we were juicing?
We'd be better at everything.
Would our voice get deeper?
Wives wouldn't be upset at us.
Would our voice get deeper or higher?
I don't know if I need mine any deeper.
Oh, man. We should. Where do we get that? We got to get that stuff.
Hey, hope get some juice when we take this show on the road in downtown Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be bringing the juice,
baby.
Bringing the juice.
We're going to need wings there, Red Bull.
We'd see. We'll see where the fans show up. And like I said, we'll put out those details and get those out to you. Remember to share the podcast with your friends. And rate us, subscribe. It is free to do so. And then give us a review. We'd like to hear your thoughts. And reach out to us on social media. You'll find us there. Out of Bounds, Detroit.com. Coming to you this week. Folks, thanks for listening. Have a great week.